everyone, and welcome to Marty Oakley TS Radio, Voices Carry for Animals, number 127 and counting. We are just moving all right along, had some great shows in the past, and we'll continue. And I want to welcome all you new listeners out there to Voices Carry for Animals. I can't thank you enough for tuning in tonight, and all you returning listeners, thank you so much. All you, all the Facebook pages out there that's helping promote this show, Paul's in the Law, Voices for Animals, the Paul's Call Show, Take Action, Help Man, Gas Chambers and Animal Shelters. The list goes on. All fans of animal rights, Voices Carry for Animals support group on Facebook. Deb Padovano, she does an excellent job of help promoting the shows. And once we all come together as one, we can get the changes made, positive changes made for the animals. And I just want to go over a couple things, and I'm going to bring Marty Oakley on because she's got a special announcement. It's good news. But the chat room is open if you'd like to join in, and you can sign in from Blog Talk Radio up at the top right-hand corner. Press sign in. You can sign in from if you have an account with them or if you have a Facebook or Twitter account, and press that. You can stroll past the comments, and a chat room will appear, and you're more than welcome to come in there. You can listen to this show by phone. And the area code is 917-388-4520. And I will repeat that. That's area code 917-388-4520. Press 1 to speak, and I will let you in. I'm going to be taking calls at the last half hour of the show. And please try to refrain from any noises in the background, any conversations, radios, TVs. You're more than welcome to come on board. We're having another great show tonight. If you want to check out the PPJ Gazette online, and that's www.ppjg.me, every time if you press the follow button, which is under the blog stats on the right-hand column, you can have, and whenever there's an article, a new news article come aboard or a new broadcast, you will be alerted in your primary email. And also on Blog Talk Radio, if you press follow right across from Marty Oakley's name, it will also alert you when a new broadcast is coming on. Please keep recruiting your family members, you know, your sons and daughters, your neighbors, your coworkers, your friends. And the more voices out there, everyone, the stronger we become to get meaningful changes for the animals, because we are the animals' voices and must be heard. If we don't do anything, their lives just worsen, and they deserve better. All lives matter, and including all the animals. They need to live in peace and happiness and comfort and have their rights granted, not violated, because they are innocent, defenseless, helpless, and voiceless. So if we don't stand up for them, they don't stand a chance. And there's a lot of animal cruelty going on out there that's totally uncalled for. There's no excuse for it. And they need our help now and into the future, because we are their future. But I want to go ahead and I want to, Marty Oakley wants to, I'm going to bring her on air. I don't know how I'm going to bring her on air. I don't know how to bring but anyway, I don't know how I'm going to do this. But anyway, Marty, are you there? Hey, Marty Oakley, where are you at? Marty, I want you to tell us about the good news about coming on live stream. Go ahead. You're live and on the air. Yeah, go ahead. Can you hear me?
Deb, can you hear me?
Yeah, there you are. I can hear you now.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, we're going on a 24-hour radio stream. It's a rebroadcasting, but it's a shows off the net. And we are on there twice a day, at midnight and at 5 p.m. in the evening, prime time, both hours. They're going to be picking up Voices Carry for Animals, our whistleblower shows, our guardianship shows. And in fact, that's why we got two slots a day, 7 days a week, so they can grab as many of our shows as they can. And it's called Today's Voice Radio Network. And you can get it in www.todaysvoiceradio, that's capital letters, all one word, .com. And like I say, it's 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and you can go through their schedule and see who's there and what you want to listen to. And but we will be picked up and live. Well, actually, they started, I believe, last Sunday evening, picking up our shows. We started off the whole shebang at midnight with the show off of TS Radio. So, like I say, it's www.todaysvoiceradio.com, and please support them because they sure are supporting us. So there
That's
you go.
Right. All right, Marty, that's such great news. And everybody, please spread the word. You know, because back in 2014 of June, at the end of the month, Marty and I was only supposed to do a couple shows of Voices Carry for Animals. And then, but it exploded, and now we're at 127, going on 3 years at the end of June. So off with all your support and coming in, and not only, not, you know, we're looking for all listeners, but we're looking for action takers. That means a lot. Get your voice out there because it does matter. You know, take action is the key. Right, Marty? And thank you. I've got to honor to be your host.
All of you, please feel free to send me a sympathy card for having to put up with this woman for 3 years and 27
shows. I feel sorry for you. You know that?
We get well soon cards, too. So.
You don't know what
I'm growing, girl.
I'm gonna keep going because I got a great tag team partner there that, you know, we work hard together, and she's a wonderful friend and advocate. I couldn't do any better. I don't think. No.
You couldn't. I checked. No, I'm probably the best there is. Thank you.
That's right. And you're the best of the best. All right, you're the bomb.com.
There you go. That'd be me. Oh, don't I wish.
But her attitude, everybody. Has them. I mean, she's out there over what, Marty? 800 shows in seven years, and all the advocacy trying to get the awareness out. The, you know, we're talking about horses on Wednesday night, Thursday night whistleblowers. Friday is Vietnam vets at Agent Orange advocates, and she has started shows on guardianship abuse, elder abuse. And I just wanted to make a quick announcement here. I was in the Orlando Centennial giving voice in my opinion about a case on my dad several years ago. There's some gap in the nursing home reports where they're leaving a blank, and I call it a fill in the blank. So if everybody give their support on the OrlandoCentennial.com and search my name, Debbie Dahmer, D-A-H-M-E-R, because I am your host, you'll see it in there because something needs to be done. We have issues from every angle. So my dad back in 2008 was severely neglected in a nursing home, which, I mean, he was only supposed to be there 120 days. He was an ex-professional wrestler, Chief White Owl. And there is on causes a petition to sign, updates on everything that's going on. If you go to www.causes.com and search Chief White Owl, it should come up. Please pass it along because we need to do something here. He was severely neglected, bed sore, stage 4, dehydration, malnutrition, lost 32 pounds in 8 weeks. This list, I mean, his rotary caps were turned where they dropped him. He had the cupulous ulcers on the bottom of his feet where they put the wrong size shoes on him, 8 when he wears a 10. He was heavily medicated. We want justice here. My mother was found, they were found guilty in November of 2012 that of all charges, where he was even falsifying reports. You know, bed sore stage 4, there's no excuse for that that led to his death. Then after that, it was the nursing home appealed 3 times and lost on the punitive damages. Well, the 7 years later, they mandated my mother to pay 50% of the punitive damages to help improve the quality of care in nursing homes. This doesn't make sense to me, but one will continue the fight because it's so injustice. And there is a video out there on YouTube. Just search my name and check it out because this is not only for just this family, it's for everyone in Florida. These Florida statutes, 400.0238 punitive damages limitations, and the 400.0239, which is, that's another Florida statute So that's what supposedly is a trust fund to help Alzheimer's and dementia patients with hydration needs and pressure sores. So my dad should have been protected from the day he walked in there till he walked out, but he wasn't. And this, these statutes came back in 2001. It says that it'll be coming to law, but it hasn't. There's no law number, case number. So we're trying to find justice here. So if you can get a support call, the legislators out there in Florida, and tell them to either repeal or amend these statutes. I'm trying to do so. I'll keep you updated. It's just a big fight, and I just need some more support, please. But I wanted to mention another on YouTube from Debbie Roscoe. I've become connected with her. She's got a video out there on YouTube, What Happened to Us. And we have Voices Carried for Animals, myself, and also TS Radio has credits for it. So if you please check it out and spread it all over the place, get some tissues out because I cried my eyes out. It is so touching and powerful. And I want to thank Debbie Roscoe so much for all of what she has put into this video. And she will be coming on as a guest very soon here. And I want to thank Animals Angels, USA and Canadian, Horse Defense Coalition, Christina Blackwell, all this gave support to this video. Trina Baz with Elizabeth Unit Slaughter O'Neill, Minotaur Alan Warren, Habitat for Horses, American Canadian Horse Warrior, have a halter. So everyone out there, all you advocates, animal lovers, activists, we can't live without you. Well, these animals need all of us. So please, let's all join up together as under one roof and take care of business, take care of action, and help these horses out. And Debbie Coffey on Wednesday night, Wild Horse and Burr Radio, she's doing the same thing. I want to give a big shout out to her too, what she's doing. So, but I want to go ahead with the show, and I know you're going to enjoy it tonight. I want to bring on my guest here. She is from In Defense of Animals, Dr. Tony Froehoff, PhD, elephant and centenarian scientist. Welcome to Voices Carry for Animals, Dr. Froehoff. How are you doing this evening?
Oh, hi. I am doing great, and please call me Tony. I'm doing wonderfully. And I should tell you, I know my title is funny, Debbie, and so it's an elephant and cetacean scientist. Cetaceans are dolphins and whales.
You.
You know, some people still say crustaceans, but I just also wanted to jump in and just say thank you for your show. It's a pleasure to be on.
Hey, you're so welcome, and it's an honor to have you on here. It's great. I'm excited all about it, you know. You want to go ahead and tell us a little bit about yourself and everyone? It's on the PPJ, a big article. Tony, I had to send you from my Voices Carry for Animals at AOL.com, but I'm having a problem with the emails. I've been having some fake emails come in saying to press this link and everything. So I was getting ready to send you the link to the PPJ Gazette, and I couldn't send it. So I need to get with AOL Security tomorrow and take care of business. So, but if you get a chance, check it out, okay? But you want to go ahead and tell us a little bit about yourself and how you got started?
Sure. I work with In Defense of Animals, and we're a national and an international organization, and we work on in defense of animals. And as you were talking about, in case of humans and other animals, everybody needs more kindness, whether they be fish, whether they be humans, or anywhere in between. And so, you know, unfortunately, and I think this is perhaps one of the reasons for your show and why it's so needed, is that other animals, well, they do have voices, but their voices aren't heard and by us. And so we need people like yourself and the work we do at IDA and In Defense of Animals and all the work that your listeners do on behalf of other animals to really right the wrongs that have been done to them and prevent any further from happening. I went the academic route because I love research, and I'm fascinated with all other animals, particularly dolphins, whales, and elephants, and maybe because they're charismatic megafauna, but primarily because they are so fascinating in terms of their social structure. They even have culture and in their societies. So I really wanted to do non-invasive research to learn, not be an animal whisperer, but to be an animal listener and to learn how to more clearly through ethological research hear what dolphins, whales, elephants, and other animals are saying to us, because they're clearly speaking in their own languages and many of us just aren't listening or are just perceiving things the way we want them to be. So that's kind of what drove me to get my doctorate in wildlife and fisheries sciences and behavior. And I just think that it makes me a better advocacy and activist person. So that's what I've been doing for about 30 years. Hard to get bio that long in a nutshell. But that's kind of the trajectory, you know, really just loving them and wanting to learn more, not just what they are, but who they are.
That's right. In your 30 years, that's a long time. And can't thank you enough for all you're doing, all your inspiring work. You know, I've checked out the Facebook page, In Defense of Animals. They have the show promoted on there tonight, everyone, if you check them out. If you haven't already pressed like, please do so. Not just like and leave, just check it out, because it's got an awesome website, too, In Defense of Animals. Try and do your part. That's all it takes. All of us connect and take action is the key to unlock the door to all changes to be made, because all animals should be treated with dignity and respect, living in comfort and freedom and respect, dignity, compassion. That's what they need. They so well deserve. I mean, if you look at it, they, you know, all of us are sharing this earth together temporarily, including the animals. So we got to make the best of it. You know, a lot of these problems, Tony, has come back from the 20th century, you know, and then rolled over to the 21st century. I like to see so many victories come in for them that it makes our heads spin and rocks the world, because they so well deserve, you know, every day, every hour, every minute that they're suffering. We can't even deal with a headache or we stubbed our toe. You know, we're going to rub it for aspirins, right, and painkillers. So I can just imagine, you know, some of the horrific, the videos I've seen and photos, the looks on their face. They can't call up this radio station. They can't, the way we can communicate with them, because they're in a, you know, just a different language. They show us by their facial, you know, there's so many out there that's suffering and pain and agony and just getting treated inhumanely. It's terrible, you know. So if we all do our part, it's going to be a better world, and that's what it takes, for sure. You know, and In Defense of Animals and everybody, I noticed there was a summit that's happening right now. I've been posting on my Voices Care for Animals support group and also my page, you know, do your part, everybody. Advocacy, it will get you farther, because silence can become very deadly if you don't say nothing and close your eyes and put it on the back burner, or, you know, sweep it under the carpet, because these animals need our attention. Their lives matter so much, and they're awesome. I mean, from dolphins like you were talking about, to killer whales, to wildlife, to companion, to farm animals. There's a long road ahead of us, but we will reach this destination all in good time. But the more and faster we come all together under one roof and just roll over numbers of people coming aboard, we're going to see some major changes being made, and for the positive. That's, we're bringing the negative into the positive. And Tony, you want to go ahead and tell us about the website you got? It's awesome. I'm checking it out. Go ahead.
Well, I can't take credit for all of it. I'm just, you know, two of the campaigns. But the folks at IDA, In Defense of Animals, work really hard, and thank you for your kind words. We all, you know, as you know, it's all over time, and we need to do, there's always more to do. And I think that the key is, at least from my perspective right now, sometimes people feel overwhelmed because there is so much to do. But the thing is, as we all know, if anybody extends some kindness to even one individual, that makes a difference to that individual. So, you know, I myself have thought, okay, you know, we don't have to take on the world, even though, you know, we often want to wave our magic wands and change everything for the better. I mean, you were talking about, and I'm very sorry to hear about the situation in the elder home, in the nursing home. And at the same time, these instances of cruelty, inadvertent or otherwise, when there's silence, as you said, I mean, that's one of my favorite sayings from Martin Luther King about, you know, we are implicit when we are silent. I don't think those are the exact words, but, you know, what you said really, really rang true. And so all of your listeners have the power to change. It may not be everything. You know, in my career, I've, you know, done a lot of public speaking and writing and interviews. And the fact is, I can't say that everything's changed, that I want to see changed by a long shot. But what we do in Defense of Animals, one of the big things that we do, especially in the elephant campaign and the dolphin and whale campaign, is we shed light on areas where things are not only silent, but where truth needs to be seen and exposed. And towards that end, we have a history of creating, for example, 10 worst zoos for elephants. And it's now, I think, in its 13th year. And it's somewhat of a venerated tradition to illustrate the various examples of elephants who are treated poorly, perhaps akin to those who are subjected to cruelty in nursing homes. It's really, you know, and so we expose, we want to shed the light where there is a veil. And the problem is with most captive facilities, there is more than a veil. It's kind of like Wizard of Oz. And what the public sees is not what the animals get. And so we really think that zoos and aquarium, who house killer whales and dolphins and such, that they are doing the public a disservice by not just keeping things quiet when ugly things happen to these captive animals, but also that they are miseducating the public and doing the public a disservice. And so we have our opinions, but we also try to bring these things to the light so people will come to their own conclusions and hopefully realize that what they see is not the whole picture when they go to a zoo or a dolphinarium.
That's right. And you know, behind the scenes, what goes on, you know, a lot of people don't know, they're not aware, you know, just like the circuses, you know, like what you said with the elephants and stuff, the Ringling Brothers is closing down. That's a victory in itself. We still got Nosy out there. There's been a 6-year fight for her freedom, which is ridiculous. I've had Barbara Levette on here, Robin Virtuta. They're in the chat room right now. Welcome to Voices Care for Animals there, ladies, and hope you call in. But they're fighting.
Oh, they're fabulous.
They
yeah.
are awesome. They've been on this
yeah.
show like 3 times already. You know, I once I get guests on there, I always welcome them back because there's no limit, you know, like you yourself. I'll be inviting you back too, you know, just all of us coming together. But it's so injustice what they're doing to Nosy the elephant. It's just a 6-year battle. It should not be happening. She should be in a sanctuary, you know, enjoying the rest of her life. Nosy is not going to live forever, and none of us. So she should be in a, you know, enjoying her life, and you know, in captivity like that, it's totally, you know, hard on them. It's very stressful. You know, and all the abuse and cruelty that goes on, they can't really enjoy their lives like that. They can't, I mean, I could just imagine putting myself in their feet or paws or whatever. They're not happy. And that's what people's got to look into their eyes. Put yourself in their shoes or paws. Would you like that life? And I hope your answer is no, because it's so cruel.
Well, and that's what science is showing too. Science is supporting exactly what you're saying, Debbie. You know, it's not just an emotional thing to advocate for animal rights. It's empirically based on empirical evidence that supports that other animals, even invertebrates, show signs of sentience and high cognitive ability and self-awareness, which implies the ability to be aware of their own suffering or their own joy. And we don't give most of them a chance to survive, if not thrive. And if I can bring up a point about conservation, because that's also important to In Defense of Animals, Debbie.
Yes, go right ahead.
You know, some people talk about, you know, justifying zoos for purposes of conservation and such, and there's a lot I could say about that, and if we have time, I will. But there's a big con in that conservation argument, and that is backed up by data. And the other part of it is that zoos are not conserving elephants in the way that most of them say they are. And if anything, they are exploiting other elephants from the wild and bringing them into the U.S. like they did recently from Swaziland under the guise of saving these elephants. And so there were 17 elephants who were brought in from Swaziland last year, and they were torn from their families, torn from everything and everybody they knew, torn from their native country. And elephants don't breed well in captivity, Debbie. In fact, the zoos are stealing from the wild because the elephants are dying in captivity faster than the zoos can maintain them. So they just don't want to lose literally their cash cows, most of them. And I'm not saying they're all evil people. It's not a matter of who they are. Some of them do believe in what they're doing. But if we put all that money that they're spending on elephants and expanding elephant exhibits and making them, and not just for the sake of the elephants, but for the tourists, then we could be making a huge dent in elephant conservation in the wild where it should be occurring.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because I've had, you know, I've had the elephant Lucy up in Canada. She's getting...
Oh, yeah.
This is sickening. I had to guess from then. And also, there was Lucy and Nosy and also Billy the elephant out in California. You know, I've had several shows on the elephants and the, you know, including the rhinos and stuff. But it's so how they're living in this, the stress... And I mean, it's sickening, and it's how many you know, signatures on a petition do you need? How many people do you need to help get them to a sanctuary? You know, I spoke out for them, and I speak out for all animals in need, you know, some form or matter, but give them some justice, you know, comfort. That's, I mean, they're relying on us to do it for them. And what does it take? I mean, you know, with all these big organizations and, you know, the activists and advocates and animal lovers, what does it take to get them to a sanctuary because of their waiting so long?
Yeah, I'm really glad you brought that up because this kind of ties into some of your listeners might be wondering, well, why is she studying dolphins, whales, and elephants and advocating for them? I mean, they're two different campaigns, having dolphins and whales, also called cetaceans, with elephants, but there are so many similarities. And for one, elephants have sanctuaries in the U.S. and elsewhere, and I mean real sanctuaries certified by GFAS, Global Federation for Association of Sanctuaries, and but cetaceans, dolphins and whales, currently do not. In fact, they are the only animals who do not have sanctuaries, true sanctuaries. And so I'm part of an advisory committee to two projects, including the whale sanctuary project, which are involved in creating what will likely be the first sanctuaries for orcas and belugas and perhaps bottlenose dolphins. And these would be seaside sanctuaries that would be focused on doing what's best for the individuals, not for the paying public. And to that effect, also, I do want to mention that orcas and elephants have uncanny similarities. And I don't want to go on too much about that, but I could tell you a little bit. But there's a lot to be said for that in terms of the reason that orcas need sanctuaries too, because orcas, a lot of them are, well, too many, in my opinion, are alone and isolated in tanks. And orcas and elephants are among the most, if not the most, social species on the planet. I mean, in elephants, you know, and orcas, the kids stay with their moms forever, especially the females. And so we're talking about incredibly cohesive family-oriented societies that rival our own family units.
Mm-hmm. And we've got a caller calling, you want to take any questions or comments for Tony? We're at the last half hour of the show, everyone. If you'd like to call in any comments or questions for the guest, the area code's 917-388-4520. Press 1 and I'll let you in. And that area code's 917-388-4520. Press 1 and I'll let you in. I have the same number every week, so if you want to keep it in your phone or written down in your contact list, you're more than welcome, because you can listen to the show by this number and also from the internet. So either way you go, please keep passing this show along, watching it grow. We got some good news in tonight about the live stream. And let's keep going, because it's unlimited listeners and world listening worldwide. We got area code 603. You're live and on the air. You have any comments or questions for the guest, please? Go right ahead.
Hi, Debbie. Hi, Tony. This is Barbara Lovett from Save Nosy Now.
Hey, Barbara.
Hey, Barbara.
How you doing?
Love your work.
Hi. Hi. Thanks, Tony. I think it's been quite a while since we spoke. I think the last time we actually spoke on the phone was in 2015 when I was at the USDA March for Nosy, and you gave me some really good advice about some things that were going on at the time. I'm calling mostly because I'm interested to hear your thoughts and feelings about what's been going on with this Paris zoo where a rhino was poached and killed right at the zoo, right outside of Paris just this week. And how vulnerable zoos really are when they are holding rhinos and elephants and other species that are very vulnerable to poaching. I worry, of course, about Nosy being a lone elephant and whether or not she is completely safe, even in the United States. The need for these people to have the ivory tusks and the rhino horn is becoming so outrageous that, you know, when we're seeing things like this happening in the zoos, I wonder what you think about all of that and how that's going to be worked on through your work with IDA.
Great question, Barbara, and what a horrible, horrible situation. In fact, sometimes people say that rhinos and elephants are safer in zoos than they are in the wild. And that's tragic on multiple levels. And for those of you who listening who don't know, yeah, this rhino was killed, and her horn was sewn off, or no, Vince, just a four-year-old rhino. And so, yes, this is, poaching is now occurring in zoos. And that's the thing. First of all, the wild is not entirely safe for anybody, but there are areas where elephants are thriving and throughout various parts of Africa. So we can't just say, oh, the wild's a dangerous place for elephants. I mean, it's dangerous for any of us to go out in our car, right? There are areas of relative safety versus danger. But, you know, here we've got a situation, as you brought up so poignantly, where this individual was at a zoo, and it's not just a matter of conservation. These rhinos, my gosh, if anybody's ever met a rhino, I just did because I worked with a veterinarian who was working with them at one point in the wild, and they're extremely sensitive animals, individuals, and so it's horrible on multiple levels. But this is shedding the light on what's going on in the zoos. Barbara, you probably heard about Packy the elephant, who was not, in our opinion, euthanized at the Oregon, at the Portland Zoo in Oregon.
Yeah. Yeah.
But was, we call it zoothanized, because zoos are killing off giraffes. You might have heard of Marius and other what they call surplus animals. And there are reasons to believe that Packy, this male who had TB, but a lot of captive elephants have TB, he did not show signs of suffering, and yet he was murdered. And yeah. So even some of the keepers, I hate the word keepers, but, you know, the handlers were publicly opposed to it because his quality of life was still excellent. And so this is a situation in which people think other animals are safe in zoos, and that's a myth. It's a myth. It's like Shamu. Shamu no longer exists. There have been a million Shamus.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree with everything you've just said, and I think, you know, a lot of zoo people and circus people have always, you know, been so for the zoo because they've always said that animals are safe there, far safer than they are in the wild. But that is, as we know, a ridiculous statement, because we know, just like you said, if you go out into the wilderness here, you're just as vulnerable to attacks and things happening to you or driving in your car down the road. So I would like to hear more, too, about your work doing the sanctuary for the orcas and the whales. I would think that that would be something that's happening in California. Am I right?
Well, the sanctuary I'm working with most predominantly now is the Whale Sanctuary Project. And we're looking at areas in colder waters right now for orcas and belugas. And I think part of that might be because of the extreme need for sanctuaries for those individuals for various reasons. I don't know about a facility in California. I know that the we had in our list of we had also had a 10 worst tanks list, but we had an honorable mention for the Baltimore Aquarium, because the Baltimore Aquarium, the curator actually said, I have to check, I think he's the director, he said that he doesn't believe it's okay to keep dolphins in captivity anymore. And they are going to create their own sanctuary. So mm-hmm. I don't know where that'll be, Barbara, but it's mm-hmm. something that is really pivotal in that they're not just, you know, they're saying that they're acknowledging, you know, I'll give you a quote. They've been critiquing dolphin captivity for about 5 years. CEO John Rasinelli is saying that when people see dolphins, this is a quote, in this kind of sterile setting, the messages that they take away are not, in fact, the ones that we as conservationists want them to. And he further noted that replicating the world of marine mammals is nearly impossible, a reality that requires the industry to look for alternatives. And so supposedly they're going to create a sanctuary of their own. I don't know if that would be in California. Maybe I'm behind on the rumors or the mm-hmm. facts.
Right. Right. I'm just very, very excited to hear that maybe something will be coming along those lines, because ever since SeaWorld has stopped the breeding program and all of that, I know we've been pushing for a long time to get sanctuaries in the waters in California, perhaps even in Florida, although SeaWorld in Florida is so centrally located in the state, there would probably be a much bigger task there, whereas SeaWorld in California is very close to the ocean. So
well, one thing we do know is they have the money for it. Oh, sorry, Barbara.
Yes.
We do know that there are deep pockets there, so that let you continue.
Yes, absolutely. I'm excited to hear about that kind of work that you're doing. And as far as the elephants, I mean, here we have even a murder this week of Satao 2, one of the large tuskers at the Tsavo Trust in Africa, and there are very few of them left of the large tuskers, and it's just becoming so pervasive, the the poaching, and so large with all the horrible things that are happening behind the scenes, such as drug money and big terrorist groups trying to get more money by using the tusks for that purpose. And they're hiring all these little people who are, you know, in poverty to do the dirty work, which is really a sad situation because when, you know, people are desperate when they'll do the kinds of things that they do to the elephants. So we've got to do something, like you said, for more conservation efforts, obviously. And the conservation is a big con when it comes to zoos and circuses. I don't care what they say. There is, if you take all that money that all those zoos and all those circuses are making and you put it into conservation, then you've made a big dent in what's really going on out there and making a big dent in the lives of these very, very impoverished kinds of animals or working towards something that will work for them. I'll stop talking. I just wanted to talk to you for a moment. I'm so glad you're on. Great to hear your voice and great to hear the work that you're still doing.
Thank you to Barbara.
Thank you, Barb. I mean, you're and everyone out there, Barbara Levette, she is a strong advocate and supporter of Nosy the Elephant. Please give her your support. Visit SaveNosyNow.org on the website and see how you can help out, or join Save Nosy Now on Facebook group. Ask to join, and you know, everyone pitch in. Because it's been almost a 6-year battle, and her Nosy's license getting renewed. What is it, Barb? April. And so, please call USDA and tell them please don't renew her license and let her go live in comfort. Because I'm going to be making some more calls too, and the more voices, the better. Slam the phone lines, please, and also the emails, the letter, the faxes. You know, whatever you can do, every effort counts. And you're being Nosy's voice. You're being all the voices, whatever you know, take part in. Because it's overwhelming out there on what's going on. We're living in a very dangerous society. And we blame it on society, but we are society. We're now in the future. And for the children coming up, the grandchildren, the great-grandchildren, the stuff that's going on since the 20th century had rolled over to the 21st century. There's a lot of greed going on, profit before animals, profit before people, and it's headed to the 22nd century if we don't get it stopped. Most of us probably won't be here, but at least they'll be secure back when the day comes. So, Barb, keep up the great work you're doing. We'll be asking you to come on back on air again, you and Robin. You guys are great out there. All of you are, all the former guests and everything. And thanks for calling in, participating. It's love to hear from you.
Thanks, Debbie. I appreciate that.
Yes.
Yeah, and Debbie, can I say one more thing about Nosy?
Yes, you can. Go right ahead.
There's
a bill calling in. Go ahead.
Okay. I just wanted to say there's a bill called Nosy's Bill in New Jersey. And that's coming up. And if people sign up at IDAUSA.org or look at Barbara's Facebook page, they can stay in tune, you know, get the email alerts. They can write letters about this. This could be a pivotal law, not just for Nosy, but for all elephants and other captive animals.
Good. Awesome. That is, because they all need to be free. You know, Lucy, Nosy, Billy, I mean, just all of them. They just need to, you know, enjoy their lives like we want to enjoy our lives. And then, ladies, I got another, we got a couple callers calling. We got like 14 minutes left. Area code 617. Welcome to Voices Carry for Animals, number 127. You have any comments or questions for the guest, please? You're live and on the
air.
Hey,
Debbie, this is Watchdog Mary, and I'll make this short and sweet because I know that you have lots of callers. I'm well, thank you. How are you doing?
Hey, so far so good. Thanks you for calling in. And Watchdog Mary, everybody, is also a former guest. Has been on several times. She'll be coming on again. I'll be asking her. And visit her website and Facebook page, Watchdog Mary. And she's doing incredible work out there. She's a journalist out there, award-winning Emmy, and she's doing an excellent job also. So please visit her page. Go ahead, Watchdog Mary.
Hey, thanks so much. And, Tony, it's an honor to meet you over the radio. And interestingly, I just got an In Defense of Animals mailer in the mail for the first time the other day, and I was reading about your organization, and I thought, wow, this is incredible. The reason I'm calling, besides to thank you for all your amazing work, is over the summer, or it was last fall, I wrote an article about the huge bust they made in New York State. They had more than $4 million of illegal ivory that was seized. And, you know, here we are living over here in the United States. What are ways that people can try to put a dent or a stop in this illegal ivory trade living here in the U.S.? You know, we aren't over trying to catch poachers and track them down and working with laws and rules and crazy systems a continent away. What can we do in the U.S., would you say, would be some of the top things that we can do to try to curb and curb the ivory trade in the United States?
Great question, and also I love your name, and I'm going to have to check out your webpage.
Thank you. You've got to check your webpage out. It's awesome.
I'm going
to. Yeah, I'd love to do some work with your organization. It looks great.
Well, please contact me. My email's on the website or my phone. You brought up something really important about the ivory issue. You know, we have a global march for elephants and rhinos that we've been participating in, and we might be taking a more active role in this coming up year. And, you know, it is this country as well as other countries. So many people, I think your point's well taken, say, oh, it's the Chinese, or oh, it's these people or that people. And, you know, right, you know, Honolulu's been a hub. We've had a lot of hubs, and we've had, fortunately, not just national legislation, but localized legislation to tighten those gaps up where they can be. You know, in certain states, California, New York, certain cities. And so there's micro and macro action that has occurred on a legislative level in the U.S. And at the same time, there is still a market. You likely heard of, what was it? I don't want to say the wrong name. A big internet company that was found to be selling ivory in the U.S. So we are just as implicit as many other countries, even if it's not, hasn't been integrated for millennia as part of our culture for aesthetics. So what people can do, Global March for Elephants, sign up for our alerts, because there are always ways in which the laws can be tightened. And we really, in this new administration in the U.S., we really, really have to stay on top of it. And this is not meant to be a political statement, but I think it was one or both of the sons of our current presidents have participated in what they call trophy hunting for elephants. And that's may not be illegal in other countries, but it sets a horrible precedent. So I think we can write letters to that effect, and so we have to amp everything up. In terms of other countries, you know, China recently said that they were implementing more restrictions. I hope that includes Hong Kong, but we still have Japan and our own backyard to attend to. So there are a lot of things, but I would just say, you know, sign those petitions, write those letters, please. They're making a difference. Make those phone calls when, you know, really authentic, you know, for the animal organizations are asking. There's usually a real good reason for it. So, you know, go in marches. You know, the Global March for Elephants and Rhinos has gone to consulates and made a big difference and has educated the public by their presence. So these are all things we can do, and each and every one of us.
And can people do things even on the local level, like if they see things in antique stores or if they hear of anything weird going on, should they report that?
Absolutely. I mean, the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, they can, you know, the regional office, so they've always got a 1-800 number, I believe, for the national, and they can direct you. any of that is important on an individual level, absolutely, because if people see that there are arrests going on in communities, then we can drive this further and further underground where hopefully it will no longer exist. Yeah, so U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service or State Wildlife Service perhaps too. Mm-hmm. But, you know, they call them Fish and Wildlife or whatever, Fish and Game, which I hate the word game to stand for animals. But absolutely, so state or federal, yes, make those calls, send those emails, and photo document as well. Mm-hmm. And that's really important. Thank you for suggesting that.
Yes.
Yeah, it's just
and
heartbreaking
ladies,
to see it going on over here.
Really? And where is over here, Mary?
You know, just like in New York where the giant bust was, that there was the largest bust in New York history just in September 2016, where I think the feds seized about $4.5 million of illegal ivory from an antique shop in Manhattan. The U.S. Attorney's Office sent me and they sent other media outlets just giant pictures of tusks that are taller than the officials they're standing next to. It's heartbreaking. And what their quote to me was one ivory trinket equals one dead elephant. And that's heartbreaking.
It's inexcusable. And not only are there substitutes, but this is not even like people trying to feed their families or something. This is absolute greed. And it exemplifies the worst of human nature. And you're right, even though there's a New York ban for elephant and mammoth ivory sales, it's still going on. And I think that especially in areas like New York or Los Angeles or, you know, big metropolitan cities, and we have to, or Honolulu, yes, citizens and just tourists, whatever, we can document what looks suspicious even and take photos and call the relevant agencies like Fish and Wildlife Service or State Fish and Game. And if you're not getting the response you need, call us at IDA, in Defense of Animals.
Perfect.
You know, there are a lot of
perfect
organizations who should be responsive to that. So, you know, sometimes we need to just give them a nudge because, as we all know, the government's working. It's a lot going on over there. So sometimes the squeaky wheel gets the attention.
Perfect. Well, thank you. And thank you so much for all your hard work and dedication. And I'll definitely catch up with you and touch base.
I'll look forward to it. Thank you.
Thank you, Watchdog. Hey, Watchdog Mary, I am Debbie the Pit Bull. I'm Pit Bull Debbie. And my name is Debbie Dobbin. My previous message.
I think you should change it now.
I love your name. Well, thank you. And you know, I love all you former guests, you know, participation when you call in and get to take your part. You know, thank you so much. And
perfect.
I wanted to make
I'll talk
one
to
correction.
You up both soon.
Yes, thank you. And I wanted to make one correction, everybody. I told the audience out there, and please take note of this, on Nosy, I'm sorry, I got it messed up. The USDA on Nosy has already renewed her license in January, and the FWC in Florida is renewing them in April. So please call or get a hold of the FWC, call them up, email them, you know, write them a letter, show up in person if you have to, and spread the word. I mean, spread their number all over every social network out there. Let's get her to freedom. But we got another caller on here. And Watchdog Mary, thanks for all you do too. Every counts. We got a call from 603. You're live and on the air. Go right ahead. Can you hear me?
Hi, Debbie. I can. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Can you hear me?
Go ahead. Yes. Go right ahead.
Hi, Debbie,
you got any comments or questions?
This is D-Dog. I'm also from Save Nosy Now.
Yes.
I'm not sure you can hear me.
Yeah, go ahead. I can hear you good.
Okay. I'm the newest admin at Save Nosy Now. I'm also going to be meeting with the Florida Wildlife Commission this coming Thursday regarding Nosy and the renewal of her FWC license on April 12th.
Okay, Dee, you're cutting out real bad. Can you get closer to your phone, or because you were cutting out?
Can you hear me now?
A little bit. You're kind of like in a tunnel.
Oh, I'm sorry. I don't know why that is. Should I hang up and try to call again?
No. Okay. You're okay now. Go ahead.
Okay. Great. My question for Tony is, I'm going to be meeting with the Florida Wildlife Commission and discussing the regulations that they're not following. And their regulations, part of the problem is that they're very vague. And with respect to the standards in which they keep nosy, they're supposed to be professionally acceptable standards. And that's a very vague definition. And I'm wondering, Tony, if you could tell me what you would consider the benchmark for an elephant husbandry guide, so that when I go and I sit down and I meet with them, I will have the information basically to say this is what is considered the professionally acceptable standards, and I want to be able to show them that they're not meeting those regulations because they're way off the mark.
Well, that's really a great point. And did you say I couldn't hear part of what you said. You're with Save Nosy Now, right?
Yes, I am.
Okay, so Save Nosy Now is a great Facebook page. So, yes, people can go there and learn how they can support your efforts to help Nosy with respect to FWC. Now, I lost my voice for a minute because there are so many layers of horribly enforced, if not horrible, agencies. But the primary layer is the USDA, U.S. Department of Agriculture,
right.
And that they're required through APHIS, Animal Plant Health Inspection Services, to implement the Animal Welfare Act. And if you contact me individually, I will happily go through some of the points in there that might be relevant to Nosy. But the problem is, first of all, you've got people who are creating standards for plants and agricultural products and animals. And these are what we would call the bare-bone requirements. Sure. You know, and then there are various professional organizations, such as the AZA, Association of Zoos and Aquariums.
Right.
But this is a circus or a traveling circus, so it's not really a zoo. But
I'm sorry. We were down to like 30 seconds here. I wish we could talk more hours and stuff. But anyway, I want to thank you so much, Tony, for coming on this evening. And thank you, Barb and Dee, for calling in. Also, Watchdog Mary, former guest. All of us together can make a difference. Voices Care for Animals is on every Tuesday live. So if you want to look at the times and dates of all these other Marty Oakley TS radio shows, please visit the PPJ Gazette online and press follow, and it will be delivered right to your primary email. I want to thank all you listeners out there, all you new listeners. Let's all stand together. United we stand, not united we fall. Thank you, everybody, and good night, and have a great evening. And thanks for everything you do for the animals. Thank you. Good night. Thank you, Tony, and
thank you.
Thank you so much. I'm sorry to cut you off, but the time ran out.
Thank you very much, Debbie.
Thank you.
Hey, anytime. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.